WMFO, Medford. Good morning. It's the 25th of July, and you're listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio, and WMFO.org. This morning I'm going to play a double feature. The first billing is The Shadow. I'm a little confused about its original air date, so I'm not going to give that, but I'm going to go ahead and play through the BF Goodrich sponsorships while I'm sorting some of that business out.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
This is Stars. This Ablach, sorry. Orson Welles stars as Lamont Cranston in The Shadow. And actually, Margot Stevenson is Miss Margot Elaine. Again, I have this. I've seen a couple of original air dates. One here says the 24th of April, 1938. I believe the other one's November. I'll see if I can find that in that. But anyway, good morning. Thanks for listening.
All over America. It's because this new Silvertown is so sensational in action and appearance, it's really a new kind of tire. You've never seen anything like it. It even looks different, for its tread is wider and flatter, and every inch of the tread is covered with row upon row of never-ending spiral bars. And those spiral bars do the same job on a wet, slippery road as your windshield wiper does to your windshield. They sweep the water right and left. They force the water out through the deep drainage groove. Thanks to that lifesaver tread, your tire actually has a drier, safer road surface for the rubber to grip. Just think, motorists. Here is a tread that's actually a road drier. No wonder the new Silvertown will stop you quicker and protect you against the dangers of skidding as never before. And here's a sincere and friendly tip. Don't fail to see and drive on the new Goodrich Silvertown the very first chance you get. Get a free demonstration. Take it from me, you'll get the driving thrill of a lifetime. And remember, only the new Silvertown offers you two great life-saving features. Lifesaver Tread Skid Protection and the famous Golden Ply Blowout Protection at no extra cost. Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost. As inevitable as a guilty conscience. The Shadow's true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, The Power of the Mind.
Paper, evening paper, paper listen, laboratory of famous chemist Rex. Discover a new mystery, explosive the missing paper.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's a special radio flash on the mysterious disappearance of Professor John Hardy. He was last seen entering a black limousine and was accompanied by a heavy-set man wearing a Van Dyke beard. and a tall, slender woman of foreign appearance. Secret Service agents are reported investigating the case due to the importance attached to the professor's reported discovery of a new type explosive, more powerful than any known to munition makers in any country in the world.
Come in. Come into my cabin, dear Countess Anna.
Well, Richter, has your very stubborn and courageous American inventor, Toff, given you the formula for that high explosive he so determined shall fall into no other hands save his own government?
No, but he will. He can't stand much more of Ivan's treatment with the whip.
Be careful. Too much torture can destroy the mind. And if Professor Harvey's mind snaps, you will never get the formula. Because we know for certain he has never written it down.
I know. I have warned Ivan to be careful.
Ivan's idea of care is to see how close he can come to whipping a man to death without actually doing so. Why do you keep that big brute as a bodyguard? He has the mind of a child.
In our business of espionage, Countess Anna, it is often useful to have servants who cannot think for themselves. Besides, Ivan is rather cunning in an animal sort of way.
Stop!
Yeah, listen.
I can't stand anymore. I can't. Don't hit me again.
Did you hear that? Success at last, my dear Countess. I think Professor Hardy is ready to give us the formula.
No. Don't hit me. I'll tell you where I hid the gold. I found it, but I hid it. I found it at the end of the rainbow, and I hid it.
I hid it, but I'll tell you. Richter, I warned you, his mind has snapped.
Here, man, you fool. I told you to be careful. Give me that whip. I told you.
I don't strike him hard. I don't.
Oh, stop it. What good will it do you to beat Ivan? He doesn't even feel it. It's your fault. You should have watched him better.
So you're telling me what to do, are you, Countess?
It's about time someone did. You've certainly bungled this. Now how are you going to get the formula? The man's out of his mind. No amount of physical torture can make him tell us.
I'll show you where I hit the gold.
Take him back down to the hold of the ship, Ivan.
I obey. Come, Professor. Come with me.
It's at the end of the rainbow, the gold.
So, you've destroyed his mind. Good work. Like having the formula in a sealed envelope and throwing it in the fire. Now what are you going to report to headquarters?
Be quiet, Anna. I'm not finished. There's still a chance. Another way of getting his secret out of him. Even if his mind is gone. It may be an easier, surer way. Oh, why didn't I think of it before?
What are you talking about? How can there be any other way with his mind destroyed by days and days of Ivan's fiendish torture with the whip?
Sarah, it so happens that a fellow countryman of mine, Dr. Waldeck, one of the world's greatest psychiatrists, is in this country. Right here in the city.
And I suppose he'll gladly come down to the ship, the Star of Zealand, and get Professor Hardy's secret from him for you.
No, not gladly, perhaps, my dear Countess. But he will come. Just wait and see.
I enjoyed your lecture very much, Dr. Waldeck. Our club has been honored tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Cranston. You are a scientist interested in psychiatry?
Well, in a way, Dr. Waldeck, I'm really only an amateur criminologist.
So, then perhaps you could tell me something of this remarkable man I've heard so much about. Even before I made this trip to America, a man called The Shadow.
The Shadow? I'm afraid not, Doctor. No one knows very much about him. Have you heard?
Oh, a great deal. I understand he is a master of mass hypnosis, of method suggestion. He has you criminals and police quite baffled by his ability to appear in a room crowded as, let us say, this club of yours, and yet remain unseen.
You seem to have no doubt of the Shadow's existence, his powers, Doctor.
Oh, none whatever, Mr. Cranston. In fact, I should like to meet this Shadow. but then I suppose I should have to commit some crime in order to do so, and I wouldn't care to carry my scientific research quite that far.
I I think the Shadow would enjoy meeting you, Doctor. You have much in common. I think you would be profoundly interested in your work in psychic research, particularly in the field of mental telepathy. You know, it might be interesting if you and the Shadow could make a test of thought transmission with a purely mental telepathic method.
It would indeed. the Shadow, from what I hear, he has little time for theory. He deals mainly in the harsh realities of criminal investigation.
Yes, but the two pursuits are not as far removed from each other as some persons seem to think.
Message for Dr. Waldeck. Dr. Waldeck.
Right here, John. A message for you, Doctor.
Here you are, Doctor. The gentleman and the lady are waiting outside in their car.
Oh, thank you, thank you. That's unusual. Most unusual.
Is there any answer, Doctor?
Answer? Yes. Say to the Countess I will come immediately.
All right.
I will do what I can. You will excuse me, Mr. Cranston. A countrywoman of mine is in need of help, and I must go at once. Perhaps we will meet again.
Well, goodbye.
Come in. Come in.
So here you are, Lamont Cranston. I thought you promised to take me to dinner tonight. You're an hour late.
I know. I'm terribly sorry, Margot.
You're sorry, but Margot Lane, your assistant, is hungry. What's the matter, Lamont? You seem preoccupied. Was anything troubling you?
Yes, Margaret, something is troubling me, but I'm blessed if I know what it is.
Would it be Dr. Waldeck? Ever since you talked to him at the club last night, you've been wondering if he just suspected that you were the Shadow.
I don't think he knows, Margot.
Then what are you worrying about?
Simply that all day long I've had the feeling that Dr. Waldeck has been trying to get in touch with me, or rather, I should say, with a Shadow.
But how could
Margot,
he?
Margot, Waldeck practiced what he preached. He is a master of mental telepathy.
Well, a Shadow isn't exactly a novice at mental telepathy either. What makes you think he's trying to get in touch with you?
At intervals, all day, my mind is kept reverting to thoughts of distress, coupled with Waldeck's name. Waldeck's name and another name. Star of Zealand.
That sounds like the name of a ship.
Perhaps, but it doesn't make sense.
Well, it seems to me it'd be easy to find out if Dr. Waldeck's in trouble. Why not call his hotel?
I've been on the point of doing it several times, but...
Here, give me that phone. Let me call him. The trouble. You, Lamont, get so wrapped up in things like thought transmission. You forget the obvious. Telephone.
That's why I have an efficient assistant like you.
Hello? Will you connect me with Dr. Waldeck's suite? What? Are you sure? The secretary's had no word either. No. Never mind, thank you.
Doesn't the hotel know where Waldeck is?
No, he hasn't been seen or heard from since he left your club last night at 11 o'clock.
Well, he is in trouble. He has been trying to communicate with me, with the Shadow.
Lamont, that other name, Star of Zealand. Maybe he's been trying to let you know where he is.
Yes, yes, now I'm sure of it. Star of Zealand. You said it sounded like the name of a ship. It's just possible. Hand me that newspaper, Margot.
Yes, got it here.
Yeah, the shipping news. Let's see. Here it is. Sailing, arrivals, departures in port. Margot, there is such a ship in port. Star of Zealand. A freighter, general cargo, pier 83. Margot, is your car outside?
Yes. Want me to drive you down to the dock?
Yes, come on. There isn't a minute to lose. That ship is scheduled to sail at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
And you think Dr. Waldeck is on board?
Yes, and I'm just as certain he's in trouble and needs help. Help from the Shadow.
That must be the Star of Zealand over there, Lamont.
Just a couple more blocks, Margot.
Wouldn't it be better to let the police investigate? You have so little to go on. You can't even be sure there is anything wrong.
If I can't convince you, Margot, what chance do you think I'd have of persuading the police to board a tramp steamer and search it for a man not even reported missing?
But how on earth will you search a ship without help? It would take hours.
It won't be necessary. I'll know if there's anything wrong if Waldeck's there. 5 minutes after I've walked on the gangplank, that I'm going aboard as the Shadow.
We're nearly there.
Slow down. Stop by the next pier. I don't think you'd better wait, Margot. This is a tough section and it's late.
All the more reason for my waiting. Don't worry about me, Lamont. I'll lock the car doors. And another thing, if you're not back in 15 minutes...
No, Margot, I may need more time, but keep the shortwave radio tuned in our usual band. If you don't hear from me in half an hour, then go ahead and notify the police.
All right, half an hour, but not a minute longer. I wish I knew what you were walking into, Lamont. I don't like this mental telepathy blind man's buff.
Neither do I, Margot, but during the ride down here, I've had a stronger feeling than I did at first that Dr. Waldeck is in desperate need of help. Stay in the car, Margot. Lock the doors and sit tight until I come back. Or you hear from the Shadow.
Lamont,
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with the Shadow in a moment to find out what new spot his enemies have put him on. But first...
Okay, we're listening to Power of the Mind. Its original air date was the 24th of April, 1938. Something doesn't seem right about that either. Maybe it was March. I don't know. I'll keep digging. This stars Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston in The Shadow, and Margot Stevenson as the part of Miss Margot Lane. I don't know where Agnes Moorehead was during this. I don't know if she was part of the season 1A, which The Shadow was picked up over the summer, and it's just labeled season 1A, but that wouldn't be the summer season if it was March or April. Well, anyway, we'll return to The Shadow.
Extra cost. Take a tip from me. For safety's sake, ride on Goodrich Safety Silvertown.
Well, my good Dr. Waldeck, what success have you had with our stubborn mental patient, eh?
None, Victor.
Come now, Doctor. You've been here on the Star of Zealand since last night.
Not by my choice.
I admit that. But surely you, one of the world's greatest psychiatrists, are not going to allow a deranged mind to stand between you and your chance of leaving this ship alive.
It is impossible, I tell you. Only one thought dominates the mind of Professor Hardy. If you had not allowed your servant to unmercifully beat him, it would not be so difficult.
I did not come down here to listen to excuses. I want that explosive formula from Professor Hardy. And I mean to get it. Now.
Very well. He is there in the bunk, sleeping. Perhaps you could succeed where I have failed.
You haven't failed. You haven't tried to penetrate his subconscious mind. But you're going to try. Devon, come here. Bring your whip.
The whip failed you once, Victor. It will fail you again. You brought me here against my will. But neither you nor that brute and his whip can make me reveal the secret knowledge of that man's mind. A secret he sacrificed his reason to keep from you.
We shall see if you have the same courage and determination as Professor Hardy. Ivan.
I am ready.
Very well, Dr. Baldock. One last chance. Get Hardy out of that bunk. Question him. Use the method you so eloquently described at your lecture last night. The method used to penetrate the subconscious of amnesia victims.
No, I refuse.
The possession of Professor Hardy's formula, the formula of the most powerful explosive ever known, is vital to our country. Your country, Dr. Baldock. If you refuse, you are an enemy of your people.
I am a man of science. My nationality was an accident of birth.
You are a traitor.
In your eyes, perhaps. Just as in mine, you are a common thief.
Hold your tongue.
They cheat.
Do as you're told.
And they coward.
Come on. The whip. We'll see who is a coward.
Yes. Mr. Rick, you
didn't touch him. What's the matter with you? Why did you throw the whip away?
Something touched me. Knocked the whip from my hand.
You're crazy. You dropped it. Get it.
No, I swear. Something knocked it from my hand.
Pick up that whip, I say. Pick it up.
But, Mr. Richter, the whip, it moves. It moves like a living thing, like a snake.
That is it, Dr. Waldeck? Trying to save yourself by fogging Ivan's mind. Making him see by hypnotic trance. Whips move like snakes, sir. Well, I'll show you. I can use a whip, too. Stay where you are, Doctor. Or do you think you can stop me pulling the trigger of this gun?
Your servant is not imagining things, Victor. He is not seeing things which have not happened. He is not hypnotized.
Something knocked the whip from my hand. I swear. Did you hear that? Laughter, like the laughter of Satan. Someone.
Be still, you fool.
You heard it too, you heard it.
Yes, your master heard it.
Ah, the shadow. You heard my appeal. You have come.
The shadow.
Then it is possible. Telepathic communication between two minds, far removed, without mutual concentration of thought.
Yes, Dr. Waldeck, a theory is being proved, but a fact remains.
Is this another of your psychic tricks, Doctor?
Richter, surely your activities in espionage have brought you in contact with those who have warned you against the shadow.
The shadow? So you are the shadow. Waldeck converted you, did he?
Yes, but in a manner beyond your comprehension.
Hey, man, get out quick. Close the iron door. Don't open it again until I order it.
Yes, I obey.
Your gun is trembling, Richter. Dr. Waldeck was right. You are a coward.
At least I don't hide in shadows. So, you've come to save Dr. Waldeck, eh?
I came here in answer to his call for help, but now that I am here...
Now that you're here, Shadow, you will remain. You have walked into a trap. A trap that will hold you until I am ready to deal with you in my own way. You and Waldeck and Professor Hardy there. You, Shadow, may even be useful in the event that the good doctor fails me.
Hello? Hello?
Captain, Richter speaking.
Yes, sir.
Order your crew to the post. Cut off. We sail at once.
But it is not 6 o'clock, sir.
Obey my orders. We sail at once.
Yes, sir. As you command.
There. Ivan, open the door. Don't waste your time in trying to get out of this hole here. Even you cannot walk through steel doors, Shadow. In a few hours, we will be at sea, and you'll be beyond help. As for you, Dr. Waldeck, I advise you to enlist the aid of the Shadow in securing Professor Hardy's secret, if you value your life. Yes? Come in.
You are getting underway, Mr. Richter. Are there any further orders?
Yes, Captain. As soon as we are at sea, I want half a dozen of your best men. Arm them with rifles and revolvers. Have them report here to me.
Yes, sir.
Why are we leaving so early? Oh, good morning, Captain.
Oh, Countess. Beg your pardon, but have you been in your cabin?
I haven't left it until now. Why?
Why do you ask? What's wrong? Only speak up, man.
A young woman was seen coming on board just before we cast off, sir.
What? Are you sure?
Yes, sir. My second mate mentioned it, but thought it was Countess Zara.
It couldn't have been.
Captain, take every member of your crew you can get. Search the ship. Find that woman and bring her here.
Yes, sir. We will find her if she is aboard.
Margot Lane. Notify police and Coast Guard. Professor John Hardy and Dr. Waldeck, prisoners in hold of Star of Zealand. Aboard Star of Zealand, proceeding to sea. Repeat message. Margot Lane, repeat message. Margot, repeat. Why don't you answer?
Was that you talking, Shadow?
Yes. I was calling my assistant for help on my portable radio, but something's wrong. I can't get an answer.
I am profoundly sorry for the situation in which we find ourselves. Had I been able to communicate to you the exact nature of my difficulties, you would have been prepared.
I am prepared, Doctor. This ship will never pass beyond the 3-mile limit. It will be stopped, searched.
But how?
I'm going to use this radio again. Star of Zealand calling the Coast Guard. Star of Zealand calling the Coast Guard. Go ahead, Star of Zealand. Go ahead. Professor John Hardy, missing scientist. Wanted by the Secret Service, prisoner firing aboard Star of Zealand. Proceeding down bay, stop and search, prepared for armed resistance. That is all. Okay, Star of Zealand. A Coast Guard cutter will investigate immediately.
You are indeed prepared, Shadow. But do not underestimate the cunning of Richter. At the first sign of danger, he will attempt to dispose of Professor Hardy and myself and you.
We must be prepared for that. Is Professor Hardy's mind completely gone?
No. For the past 24 hours, I have been treating him, have induced hypnotic sleep. He should be nearly rational now.
Then awaken him. There's no time to lose.
Very well. Professor Hardy. Come, Professor Hardy. It is time to waken. It is time to wake and
shadow.
The houses.
Margot, why did you leave the car? Board the ship. I called you but received no reply.
When the ship sailed ahead of schedule, I was sure something gone wrong. Someone must have seen me coming aboard. They're searching the ship.
You're a godsend, Margot, but you mustn't be found on the ship. A Coast Guard cutter's on the way. You've got to get off before they arrive.
Don't worry about me. We're passing down the channel. It's only a couple of hundred yards to shore. Why, Dr. Waldeck is here. He was aboard. But who's that other man?
Professor John Hardy. But quick, Margot, get off the ship. You've done more than enough just opening the steel door.
All right, Shadow. Don't worry, I can swim 10 times that distance. There's a cargo door open on the port side.
Dive far out, Margot. And Margot, be careful of the suction of the propellers.
Good luck.
Come, Professor Hardy. Come, Professor Hardy.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. But, what has happened? Where is this Richter?
We are still on the ship, but help is coming. He is very weak, Shadow. Shadow, the door, it is open, but how?
Don't stop until you're perfectly here. Alright, you must come with me.
The door, it is open. They have escaped.
Doctor, get back behind the door, out of sight.
Hey, that girl, she opened it. But they can't get off the ship. They can't be far from here.
Maybe they hide, maybe.
Ivan, you fool! Why did you close that door?
Well, I did not touch it.
Now, Richter, did you have walked into a trap?
So, you didn't have time to get away, Shadow.
Mr. Richter, the doctor, the professor, they are here.
Yes, so, you like to have what you Americans call a showdown. Very well, you shall have it, after I communicate with my captain. Captain! Captain!
Yes, sir.
Quick! Your men who are searching the ship, send them to this hold at once.
Immediately, sir.
And now, Shadow, we shall deal with you. Ivan, watch the good doctor and the professor. Their turn will come when we have finished with this Shadow once and for all.
You are too late, Richter. Listen.
There. So, the river police. Well, let them come. Before they can board us, there will be no trace of any of you.
Perhaps your captain is not so sure. He's calling you over the speaking tube.
Sure. Hello, hello.
Coast Guard cutter off our port bow, sir. She has readied us to halt for search.
Order full speed ahead and get your men down here.
But
quick.
We are not beyond the 3-mile limit.
Carry out my orders. Full speed ahead.
Yes, sir.
Desperate measures, but they will fail, Richter. They will fail. That was a blank, a warning. Your captain is being sensible. He stopped the engines.
Let them come. Let them search the ship. They'll find nothing. Nothing. Because I'm going to shoot you. They'll never think to look for bodies in the ballast tanks. My gun!
No. No, Richter. You're not going to add murder to your list of crimes.
Ivan, quick! I've got hold of the Shadow here. Take my gun. It's on the floor. The Shadow's here between me and the wall. Shoot him!
No. No. Oh, there is nothing there. I see nothing.
Shoot him!
You're a man.
Shoot him!
A man, I go!
Dr. Waldeck, the gun. Pick it up.
Yeah. Put up your hands, Victor.
No, you don't. You'll never turn me over to the police. No.
Sorry, I had to hit Richter so hard, Dr. Waldeck. The Coast Guard won't meet much resistance when they arrest him. You're a witness to what has happened here.
Ahoy!
Listen, Doctor.
Everybody, the Donald dealer. We are coming aboard!
The Coast Guard!
Yes, they are coming aboard. You are safe now, Dr. Waldeck. Your faith in the power of the mind saved you and Professor Hardy, helped him keep his secret. Perhaps at some future time, under more favorable circumstances, we shall meet again.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows. Ha 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 ha
doctors and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Okay, that was The Shadow, Power of the Mind. And I guess its original air date was the 24th of April, 1938. That starred Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston, The Shadow, and Margot Stevenson as Miss Margot Lane. For the second half of the double bill, I'm going to play from the WMFO record library. I played one of these episodes, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. It's from a Dashiell Hammett conceived character story. I don't recall. I think he might have been in the Maltese Falcon, the Fat Man. This one's titled Order for Murder. I'm not able to find any original air date on this, so just bear with me. You're listening to Arthur. This is the Grand Hour on 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, and WMFO.org.
There he goes. He's stepping on the scales. Weight, 237 pounds. Fortune, danger. Who is it?
Brad Runyon, the Fat Man. Crime, like death and taxes, is always with us. As long as there are crooked politicians and ambitious racket guys, the answer will be graft. If rich women continue to be careless with their jewels, there'll be headline robberies. And until somebody can change human nature, hatred in a heart and a gun in a hand will always add up to murder.
The American Broadcasting Company brings you, in part transcribed, The Adventures of Brad Runyon, the Fat Man, starring J. Scott Smart, an exciting and fast-moving criminologist who tips the scales at 237 pounds. Tonight's adventure, Order for Murder.
I'd been in Washington, D.C. that day, finishing up a job, and a friend of mine who lives some 40 miles south toward the Maryland coast had asked me down for the weekend. I hadn't seen him in several years. Since I had my car, I decided to go. I ate dinner before leaving and cleared Washington just after dark. The traffic dwindled off gradually, and 30 minutes later, I was rolling along a dark, deserted stretch of road on the Maryland side, not far from the Potomac River. I must have been just about opposite Mount Vernon when the motor of my car suddenly sputtered and died. I got out, but I couldn't find the trouble. It was a warm night, and back in the woods, a chorus of frogs were really whooping it up. I lit a cigarette, trying to remember the last house I'd passed, then saw the headlights of a car coming toward me. I stepped out and waved my lighted cigarette up and down.
That's the trouble.
My car broke down. Can you give me a lift into the nearest town?
I'm going that far.
Well, do you live out here?
No.
Or I can use the phone.
Get in, I'll take as far as I'm going. Past the house, I'll drop you off.
Well, don't they have a phone where you're going?
I wouldn't know. Get in if you want to ride.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, mind lighting a cigarette for me?
Yeah, keep it in your mouth. I'll hold the match for you.
Huh?
Here you...
Sorry, I should have warned you about the scar.
Well, I didn't mean...
That's all right. Come on, hold the match for me.
Here.
Well, go ahead. Ask me how it happened. I'm used to it. 7 years is a long time.
The war?
Yeah, out in the islands. That sweet, lovely, wonderful war. Maybe you know.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it was great, wasn't it? More fun. So funny, I thought I'd die, you know? The name's O'Reilly. Johnny O'Reilly, and I'm not a kid. But you couldn't tell by the face, could you?
No, I guess I couldn't.
Remember that name, mister, because you're probably going to be seeing it in the papers soon.
Mm? Why?
I got a lot out of that war, but I didn't get any medals, and I should have got one, too, the big one. But I didn't get it. Somebody else got it. You know who got it?
Who?
A major got it. Tie that if you can. A major back of the lines who let me do the work and then took the credit. Well, I was hanging on at a hospital for more years than I like to remember.
Why didn't they try plastic surgery?
They did. 5 times. The best they could do. It was really fun. Been a long time coming back. But I'm back now. 7 years, nearly.
You were in the hospital 7 years?
Yeah, that's right.
Why didn't you protest when they gave this major the medal instead of you?
I did. It didn't do any good. In a way, I'm glad now.
Glad?
Yeah. I'm gonna make another protest in my own way. Yeah. As far as I can take you, I'll turn off down that little road over there.
Well, thanks for the lift.
It's a pleasure. Give me somebody to talk to.
Mind if I give you some advice?
No, I don't mind.
Forget the war. Make the best of things as they are.
It's just what I'm gonna do, mister.
The river's down that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, a major lives down there. I'm gonna pay him a visit.
I stood there watching the taillight of his car quickly fade out of sight down the little dirt road. It really wasn't any of my business, but the guy sounded upset enough to do anything. The least I could do was to try and stop him. I wondered how far it was to the river and started walking fast down the little dark road. I'd gone about a mile when the road turned off to the right, and I could see the Potomac River through the trees. The road now ran parallel to the river. And 5 minutes later, I saw the lights of a house up ahead. It stood well back from the road in a clump of trees and fronted on the river. There were no cars in sight. Beyond it, a couple of 100 yards, was another house. I started toward it when suddenly, down in the woods between the two houses, I saw the flicker of a small light. It flashed on, moved furtively around, and went out. I pushed into the woods and walked cautiously toward it.
George, it comes. They're down there in the graveyard. I just saw... Oh, you're not George.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to frighten you.
Who are you? Are you one of them?
One of who?
The spirits who are coming for the Major.
Major?
Yes. Major Smith. I knew they'd come. I knew they'd hear me. And now he'll suffer. Now he'll pay for his wickedness.
Does the Major live in that house?
No. That's my house. He lives over there beyond the graveyard. At least he did live there, but he won't live there anymore. Not after tonight.
Miss Nancy. Miss Nancy, where are you?
Here I am, George. Over here.
Oh, yes. What you doing out here, Miss Nancy? You catch cold.
George, I saw them. They were down there in the graveyard.
Who's this man?
Why, I don't know.
Well, my name is Runyon. I'm looking for Major Smith's house.
You're a friend of his?
No, I've never
but
even...
But I hate him. I hate him. I never want to.
Please, Miss Nancy, please. You go on up to the house, Miss Nancy. I'll speak with this gentleman.
Yes, George. Yes, George. Anything you say.
Do you work for her?
Yes, sir. Please, I'll hope you forget what she said to you. You see, she ain't quite right in her head, but she don't mean no harm. Mr. Smith coming here to live after all these years and bringing a new young wife with him just sort of set it off again.
Why does she hate Major Smith so much?
Well, years ago when Miss Nancy and Miss Smith were both young folks, they was engaged to get married, but he changed his mind at the last minute and left Miss Nancy waiting at the church. He run off with another woman.
What's all that crazy talk about spirits?
Oh, that's just an idea she's got. That little graveyard over there belongs to the Smith family. Miss Nancy thinks his ancestors is coming out of the ground and take him away.
Mm-hmm, I see. This young wife of Smith's, she isn't the one he ran off with when he left Miss Nancy, is she?
Oh, no, that one died a long time ago. This is a new one. And if you ask me, he's going to be sorry he ever laid eyes on her.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, she don't love him at all. They say she only married him for his money, and she'd like to get that just as soon as possible.
The old man turned and left me standing there in the woods. I looked down toward the graveyard, but no more lights showed in the darkness. I went back to the road and walked quickly toward the major's house. Just as I reached the gate, I heard a car coming along the road behind me. I stepped behind a tree and waited. The car stopped near the gate. I saw a man and woman sitting in the front seat. As I watched, they melted into a long embrace. Then the door opened, the woman got out. She said something in a low voice to the man, and the car swung around and disappeared up the road. The woman turned and started up toward the house. As she came abreast of me, I stepped out from behind the tree.
Oh, you startled me.
Don't be frightened. I'm not going to hurt you.
Well, who are you? What are you doing in my yard?
You live here?
Of course I live here. I'm Mrs. Smith.
You're Major Smith's wife?
Certainly.
Was that the major who just let you out of the car?
You saw us.
It wasn't the major, was it?
No, it wasn't. Who are you?
My name is Runyon. I'm a private detective.
So, my husband hired you to spy on me. All right, I'll save you some trouble. There is another man, and there always has been. I never loved Edgar, and he knew it. He was no good from the start. That's why he was court-martialed and discharged from the army. But if he wants to get rid of me, he's going to have to pay plenty. Now, anything else you want to know?
Mrs. Smith, your husband hasn't hired me. In fact, I've never even seen him.
Well, then why are you here? What do you mean by...
Just a minute. I met an upset guy on the road tonight, and he hates Smith. I think he may try to kill him. Sounded mad enough to be convincing. That's why I came here. Is your husband at home?
Why, yes. At least he was when I left several hours ago.
Well, come on. Let's go inside.
Very well.
The guy dropped me back on the main road and headed in this direction.
He was in a car?
Yes, but I don't see it anywhere. Does Smith have a gun?
Yes, he has several of them.
Good. Hold it.
What is it?
Look there through the French doors.
Is that the man?
Yeah.
He's got a gun.
Yeah, he's covering your husband with it.
What do we do?
Those French doors are open. Can you enter the front door without making any noise?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, take your time, go inside. Then go around and open the door to that room. Open it fast and loud.
What are you going to do?
I'll slip over by those open French doors. When the door opens, he'll turn around and I'll grab him from behind.
Well, suppose he shoots when I open the door.
Don't step into the room. Just bang the door open suddenly. Mrs. Smith nodded silently and started for the front door. I eased over to the house and stopped in the shadows beside the open French doors and listened to Johnny taunt the major.
How do you like it, Smith? How do you like sitting there waiting, knowing you're going to get it in a minute?
You're insane. You're a madman.
Yeah, I'm plenty mad. It's been boiling in me for 7 years. You probably don't recognize me, but the name is O'Reilly, Smith. Remember Johnny O'Reilly?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about a certain night in the islands during the war. What?
Okay, Johnny, that's enough of that. Come on. Drop that gun. Drop it.
Not a chance.
Drop it. Grab the gun, Smith. Grab it.
Try this for size, Fatty.
Stop him. Stop him. He'll get away.
No. Let him go.
Give me that gun, you coward. I'll stop.
stop him. He's gone. Oh, you let him get away.
Wait, I couldn't help it, Phyllis. I couldn't seem to move.
Mr. Runyon, are you all right?
Yeah, I think so. He kneed me in the stomach, knocked the wind out of me.
He got away. It was my husband's fault. He could have stopped him.
Where's his gun?
Here it is.
Give it to me.
What are you going to do?
Your husband and I are going out there and find that guy.
Who are you?
Never mind that now. Your wife says you have some pistols. Where are they?
Here in this drawer.
You take one and give your husband one.
All right.
And you stay here. Come on, Smith.
Well, do you think it's wise to go out there?
We've got his gun.
Yes, but he might have another one.
Polish up that medal you won, Smith. It's time you earned it. We left Mrs. Smith in the house and went out into the grounds. The moon had come up and we could see fairly well in the dark. We circled the house once, saw nothing, and walked down the road toward the graveyard.
Here's the graveyard. Do you suppose he's hiding here?
He's hiding somewhere. We didn't hear his car drive off. I think he...
What's wrong?
Look.
What on earth?
Somebody's been doing some digging.
The grave. It's been opened.
Yeah, not very long ago either. This pile of dirt is fresh.
That explains the light you saw.
Yeah.
I don't understand this. The coffin's still in the grave, isn't it?
Yes, it's still down there.
Why would anybody want to open this grave?
Maybe Miss Nancy isn't so crazy after all, Smith. Or maybe somebody's just making room to add another coffin.
Hey, who...
I couldn't tell where the shot came from, but it hadn't been fired from close up. Smith clutched at his breast and then toppled forward into the open grave. I jumped down beside him and turned him over. His shirt front was covered with blood and his eyes were wide open. He'd never win any more medals or make any more enemies. He was dead. I crouched there beside him for nearly a minute, but nothing happened. And then I climbed out of the grave and started quickly back toward the house where we'd left his wife. Suddenly, I heard somebody moving through the trees ahead of me. Stopped and waited. Steps came closer. Stopped 10 or 15 feet away.
Mr. Runyon? Oh, Mr. Runyon, where are you?
Over here, Mrs. Smith.
Oh, Mr. Runyon. I heard a shot a minute ago. I thought... Where's my husband? What's happened?
He's dead, Mrs. Smith.
Dead? Then that man did have another gun.
I'm not so sure about that.
What do you mean?
Your husband wasn't a very popular guy. There were a few other people around who might have liked to see him out of the way.
Are you trying to say that man didn't kill my husband?
No, I'm just saying it's possible he didn't.
Are you intimating that I...
Maybe. After all, you admitted to me tonight that you didn't love him, that you only wanted his money.
Well, that's true. I never loved him, and I did marry him for his money. But that's no crime. Lots of women marry men they don't love for that reason.
But they don't all have another sweetheart on the side.
My husband knew there was another man. I don't think he even cared.
He might have refused to give you a divorce.
That may be, but you're all wrong about this. I didn't shoot my husband.
You had a swell chance to do it. We left you in the house alone. You could have easily followed us. You had a gun. Where is it?
It's here in my coat pocket.
Let's see it.
Very well. Here. Well, are you satisfied?
Well, it hasn't been fired.
Of course it hasn't.
There's one other possibility, though.
What?
The woman who lives in that other house down the road.
Miss Nancy?
Yeah. She hated your husband and was prowling around out here in the dark when I arrived.
Surely you don't think she did it.
Well, somebody did it, and somebody dug up a grave over there a little while ago. And she was rambling on about spirits coming out of the ground to punish your husband.
Oh, it sounds fantastic.
It is. But we'd better go have a talk with her. And we've got to call the police.
Yes, but my husband, he's... still lying out there.
We can't help him now, and the police won't want the body to be touched. We can call them from Miss Nancy's house.
There's a light on in the living room. She doesn't usually stay up this late.
Wait a second.
What's the matter?
Look over there across the road in that clump of trees.
A car?
Yeah, it's the one O'Reilly was driving.
Well, then he's still here. It must have been he who killed him, Mr. Runyon.
Come on, let's have a look at that car. Stay behind me. He may be hiding inside.
All right.
O'Reilly, if you're in the car, you better come out with your hands up. O'Reilly. Okay, I'm coming after you. Well, the car's empty. He's not here.
Are you sure it's his car?
Positive. He picked me up in it tonight.
What are we going to do?
I've got a hunch he'll be showing up soon if he hasn't spotted us. We better get back in those trees and wait. I took Mrs. Smith by the arm and drew her into the shadows. We stood there silently waiting. 10 or 15 minutes passed and nothing happened. I looked up toward Miss Nancy's house and saw that the light was still on in the living room. Suddenly, I felt Mrs. Smith's hand grip my arm. I held my breath and waited. Then I heard it. Somebody was moving stealthily toward the car. A second later, the figure of a man stepped into view. I slipped O'Reilly's gun out of my pocket and moved toward him. Freeze, O'Reilly. I got you covered.
Huh?
Don't move or you'll get a bullet in your back. Now put your hands up.
Okay. What are you looking for?
A gun.
I haven't got a gun.
No, not now you haven't. Where'd you throw it away, O'Reilly?
Throw it away? You didn't throw it away. You took it away from me at Smith's house.
I mean the second gun, the one you shot the major with.
I didn't shoot him, Runyon. I swear I didn't. Sure, I came out here to kill him, but I didn't do it. I couldn't have done it because I didn't have a second gun.
Why did you hang around here? Why didn't you beat it when you left the house?
I was afraid to try and make a break for the car, so I hid for those woods over by the graveyard. I was hiding out there when you and the Major found that grave and started talking about that crazy woman.
Did you open the grave, Riley?
Of course not. I heard the shot and I saw Smith take that nosedive into the hole. Waited until you left and then tried to sneak over here to my car.
You're lying. You killed my husband.
Okay, O'Reilly, start walking.
Where are we going?
To call the police and have a chat with Miss Nancy. Remember me?
Why, yes, sir. You're the gentleman who was down in the woods earlier this evening.
That's right.
Who are these people?
Murder suspects. Where's Miss Nancy?
She's gone to bed. She's asleep. Did you say murder?
Yeah. Now, please wake Miss Nancy up.
Who's been murdered?
Major Smith. Where's Miss Nancy's room?
Right over there. She sleeps on the ground floor.
Okay, wake her up.
Yes, sir. Miss Nancy. Miss Nancy. That's funny.
Open the door and get her up.
Miss Nancy.
What's wrong?
Oh, she's gone. Miss Nancy ain't in here.
Let me have a look in there.
George, I did it. He's dead. I killed. What are these people doing here, George?
Miss Nancy, they say that...
Just a second. Who's dead, Miss Nancy?
Why, the Major, of course.
How did you know?
How do I know? I know because I killed him, and I've just seen his body in the grave.
You killed him?
Certainly I killed him.
What did you do with the gun?
Gun? What gun?
The gun you shot him with.
I didn't shoot him. I didn't have to. For years I've been praying to them, but they wouldn't listen. So tonight I decided to help them.
Oh, it was you who opened the grave?
Yes. Yes, I dug and dug, and finally they were freed. I went out just now to see if they'd gotten him. And there he was, dead, and in the grave. In the grave. Dead.
This dame is off a beam, Runyon. She knows what she's talking about.
You're right, but she's harmless. She hasn't killed anybody. And neither have you.
That's right, I told you that.
I don't understand.
Maybe this'll help clear it up, sweetheart. You killed the Major, and O'Reilly here put the noose around your neck a few minutes ago.
I did?
That's right. You told us you were hiding near the grave when we found it tonight. You heard the Major and me talking about Miss Nancy, so you had to be pretty close to us because we were talking quietly. The shot that killed Smith came from 40 or 50 feet away, so it couldn't have been you who fired it.
But you saw my gun. You know it hadn't been fired.
That gun hadn't been fired, but you told me the Major had several guns. Very simple matter to carry two guns and toss one away after the shooting.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not, sweetheart. The other gun will cinch it when the police find it. The important thing to know is we have to look for it.
I tell you, I didn't...
Hold her, O'Reilly.
Okay, now behave, lady.
Hands off of me.
Where's the phone, George? I've got to put in a call to the police and tell them I've got a murderer out here for them.
No.
Fat Man, starring J. Scott Smart, in part transcribed, was directed by Clark Andrews. The script written by Richard Ellington. Heard on tonight's show were Vicki Vola as Phyllis and Jimmy McCallion as Johnny O'Reilly. The music was conducted by Bernard Green. Listen next week to another exciting adventure of the Fat Man.
That was the Fat Man. I couldn't find an original air date for that, but I know the show ran from January 1946 to September 1951. And my apologies, the Fat Man has nothing to do with the Maltese Falcon. I was kind of reading some of the liner notes here. And the playoff of Dashiell Hammett's character, which actually wasn't a character, but the Thin Man series, the Fat Man was developed from his stories, The Continental Op, which I've read those years ago. I forgot all about that. I'm going to go ahead and play out Orson Welles' film, Touch of Evil. A couple of Mancini tracks. Matt and the Whirlpool is up next. Doesn't appear he brought any groceries this week, but thanks for listening. This is Arthur, the Grand Hour, here on WMFO 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio.